All right, good morning. On this Wednesday morning, getting closer to the start of the Phils in Red October on Saturday, 4 o'clock, that game right here on WIP. Also, a reminder, tomorrow, big show as we broadcast from South Philly, Chickies and Pete's, right there, 1526 Packer Avenue. A 13-and-a-half-hour broadcast with a, it's like a Red October pep rally, if you will. We're also going to have a special announcement during our show at 8:40. There's going to be a lot of guests during the day. Rob Thompson will join our show at 8 o'clock tomorrow, so be tuned tomorrow if you can. Obviously, if you can be there, please do. We look forward to hopefully a month of October that let's put it into November. If you look at the calendar, the way it stacks up, Major League Baseball, the World Series now goes into November. So let's hope this Red October turns into a Red November and the Phils get it done early.
Joe.
Yes, sir.
Now, game six is in November. Let's finish it in five or less. How about that?
I'm aware. James, they're 1-1 in their history to win the World Series 5 or 6. One time five, one time six. All right. Phil Martelli with us here, which is great. Mike Quick joins us in 10 minutes. Phil, let's get to this reality here. So I think it's clear the biggest criticism of Rob Thompson at this point in his tenure, and he's done, for the most part, a phenomenal job. He has had some whopper of decisions in October that have, like, really hurt their chances. And one of the things that has frustrated me is I felt like he stuck with what I do is what I do. So you've coached postseason, obviously most notably with your, phenomenal St. Joe's team 20 years ago. But other times you made it. Michigan, St. Joe's, the whole deal. All right. So how do you balance as a coach, and how should Rob Thompson balance what I did helped me get here versus this guy struggling? Now, you're not going to take Bryce Harper out of the lineup, but like this other guy struggling might need to take him out of the lineup. How do you manage that?
Well, the message was already delivered last week. They've already had this conversation, in my opinion. Dombrowski talked about Rob Thompson learned from Kimbrough last year. So he learned from it. Yeah. The message was already delivered. So what you now need to do is his greatest strength is that he is, and I hate cliches, but he is a player's manager. He protects those guys. And yet, at the same time, you can feel like their disappointment when they will let him down because they know he has their back. I think this is... I think he's the perfect guy for Philadelphia. I think he's the perfect guy for this team. He understands that this is a star-driven team, and he's going to understand, and I hate to use this word, but the fans are dying for this.
No question.
Like this is, and the so many times their team and he will mention, well, the fans pulled us through.
Yeah.
It's gotten a little quiet down there. I mean, people got a little bit fool themselves at the All-Star break and 30 games up, 30 games over 500. But it's coming Saturday. It's coming. And you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to suggest this. I hope it's not the Mets.
I agree.
I hope it's not not because of baseball.
Fans?
Because Citizens Bank and that experience and the whole vibe around this team cannot become, and I say this respectfully, cannot become the 700 level of the Vet. And they're obnoxious. Their team is obnoxious. Their fans are going to be obnoxious because they are on a hell of a run the way they're playing right now.
Well,
I just pray it's not the Mets.
I agree with you.
That's why it's probably going to be the Mets.
Well, yeah, it's probably going to be the Mets.
So here's a wild fact I didn't know till this morning. So, obviously, four games got played yesterday. Braves lost, Mets won, just a NL little taste of yesterday. Brewers and Reese Hoskins in trouble, down 1-0. In the 2 years that this format has existed in Major League Baseball, where there's this round and a best of three, the team that in the current round that's going on right now, the team that won game one has won all 8 series.
Yeah.
And 7 of those 8 times, it was a sweep. 2-0.
Yeah.
So I think there's a really good chance it is the Phillies and the Mets Saturday at 4 o'clock, and I do think that will involve thousands of Mets fans. And I do worry about the disruption into that flow, Phil, that our team plays so well in the midst of, and you throw 5 or 10,000 Mets fans in that mix, it's a different deal. All right, let's get some calls in here.
Can we also say it is fun though? I mean, we're talking about rivalries and sports and all
intensity.
That. Mets-Phillies is a way more fun series than Mets-Phillies-Brewers.
No, I agree with that, but It's really fun if you win, and it's
worse if you lose.
I mean, that Knicks thing. That Knicks thing was brutal.
Well, and especially after that, like, it's horrible either way, no matter what. But you know, Sixers losing to the Knicks, and then I don't even want to put it out into the universe if the Phillies lose.
But
to
it could happen.
It
all right,
could happen.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Mike Quick in about 5 minutes. John at Plymouth meeting right now. Hi, John.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, John.
Bill Martelli, big fan. Even when you were, since you were a coach at Bishop Kendrick High School, I want to talk Eagles. I'm really scared of this offense, and here's why. We bring in this new offensive coordinator. They lose against Atlanta, and you know, Sirianni's saying, you know, are you the one making these calls? And he falls on the sword. And last week, it looked like they're playing the same old offense. So I said to my dad, and John Johnson actually confirmed said it too. They're either Sirianni making all the calls, or Jalen Hurts can't figure out the new offense. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I am struck by
those your only two possibilities.
Because he's not under center anymore? How about that one?
And it looks like, yeah, it looks like last year's offense
right,
again.
Exactly.
I mean, they're not doing motion anymore, all that stuff.
Now, some of that could be wide receiver related. I mean, it could be. The receivers
they had
changed.
Both their top wide receivers out.
That could be a factor.
You've got guys that you brought in to be your third wide receiver who just arrived here. You're talking about motions that, you know, it's pretty complex. You're asking guys to be in different positions than they've ever played before.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You're asking your three to become your one. And so now he is, rather than being that, it really is a different position.
Sure.
He's now no longer the zebra position. He's now the Z.
Look, I'll say that John, here's my biggest disappointment with the Eagles offense so far, like other than they don't score enough, that Hurts isn't under center. And it makes me think that, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just going to say that my instincts that the Eagles coaches don't think he would be that good at it and that he's not that comfortable with it is probably on point. I mean, why not do it? You can open up a whole nother type of place.
I would love to see the added variety, the pull that you can get with play action when you're, you know, running from under center, from all the different aspects. And we have had, we've run a variety of blocking schemes in our run game this year. When we were successful pounding the football, it was with the power scheme and the zone scheme. Like, we're doing a lot of good things up front with Jeff Stout.
All right, caller John, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, that's okay. Here's my movie, and I was going to say Robert De Niro, Taxi Driver. I really think that guy should win. And so, but I'm going to go with Tom Hanks in Castaway, but the scene I'm going with, not with Wilson, I'm going with when he creates fire. He gets up and he's like, oh, I created fire. I think that's the scene I would go with.
I like that scene. All right, John, good call. So Phil, what's the best scene? You're not eligible. Well, Seltzer, maybe Phil is eligible to win the Dane Cook tickets. He doesn't work here. I don't know what the rules are.
I have to eliminate myself.
Thank you, Phil. That makes it a lot easier on all of us.
E.T.
No. Oh, my God.
Really?
I don't.
No, I'm not a movie.
Wow.
And you
person.
Really think it's been since 1982?
I did watch that great football movie, Remember the Titans.
Oh my God, this is like
I watched a great movie after I read the book about the kids in New York. I think it was called Sleepers.
Oh yeah, Sleepers.
They were put into a
the home and the home. That's a tough
Sleepers.
Watch.
That's like.
But
Brad Pitt,
honestly,
and Kevin Bacon.
And Jason Patrick and all that. Yeah,
I will tell you. We had a retreat, a coaching retreat, and the guys were going around the table and they were talking about stuff. And they looked at me and they said, "We're going to call you the Godfather." I said, "Well, I have to be honest with you. I've never seen the Godfather."
No way.
And they fell over.
Still, you have never seen The Godfather.
Never.
To this day.
And you know what? That's
incredible.
Phil. I get ripped on this show all the time for not
seeing
this old
movie. It's not okay. Don't listen to the one person who has not seen it. Yeah, it's not okay.
Phil, I'm not going to ask you if you're a man. I'm going to ask you, are you a human? All right. Let's talk to someone we know is both a man and a human, Mr. Mike Quick. We love talking to Mike. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time.
Mike Quick, sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to $1,000 casino bonus. $1,000 in their first 24 hours. Must be 21 and in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mr. Mike Quick, Mike, please tell me you've seen The Godfather.
I have seen The Godfather.
Thank you, sir.
Coach, you got to get out a little more.
Or stay in a little more, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's just saddle up for two, or in this case, 4 hours to watch a movie. All right, Mike, love having you on the show, man. Go ahead,
listen,
Mike.
Listen, I do have to say that I haven't picked games correctly since Coach stopped coming on and picking games. Now, back when Phil was coming on, I'm the worst. For someone who watches football all the time, I am the absolute worst at picking games. And my son, once in a while, maybe he might wager, and he would ask me, and he would always go opposite what I tell him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that tells you something.
Until I started, like, whatever Coach would say, I would say, okay, that's who's going to win. Then I got a few right back then.
There you go.
That's encouraging.
Love it. All right, so, Mike, let's get to it with the birds here. So let's start with this. There's what we hear the Eagles brass say about Jalen. And then there's what they think. We don't know what they're thinking. I have a sense. I have some ideas. But we don't know. What do you sense the Eagles brass, Lori, Howie, Sirianni, Moore, Kellen Moore, what do you sense that they're thinking about Jalen Hurts?
Dude, I have no idea what they're sensing about Hurts. I know that they've seen Hurts playing at a really high level. And I know that they've seen some of what we saw on Sunday where it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out. So I have no idea what they're thinking, but I know he can play. I know that I don't think the game plan was what it should have been going into that game. I thought Tampa had a really good game plan, and quite honestly, I don't think the Eagles' game plan was what it should have been going into the game.
Sorry.
The way that they were able to get the ball out so quickly in just over 2 seconds on average and spread the ball around, I thought that probably should have been the game plan against the Todd Bowles defense where you know that they're going to pressure you, they're going to be on you. I thought that the game plan should have been one where that ball is coming out in 2 seconds and you have a clear picture where the ball is going to go very quickly in the down and not have to move around so much and try and create.
Mike, let me just ask you this, though. What if that's not in Jalen's bag? You know, what if that quick decision-making and quick release and all that just isn't part of his game? I mean, if that's the case, that's...
No, I think we've seen that in games where, in the past, where you wanted him to get the ball out quickly and you're able to do that. And it's basically making sure that pre-snap, you kind of understand where you want to go with the football.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of the movement that he saw post-snap, Todd Bowles is really good, and he's going to show you things. He's going to take away things and keep you guessing. But you have to have a clear picture of what you really want to do.
So was the Todd Bowles aspect why it looked like Jalen took a step back with the pocket awareness? We know Todd Bowles, we were told. I heard Jordan Mailata talking yesterday with our afternoon show talking about how Todd Bowles was a mastermind. Is that why Jalen's pocket awareness took such a big hit in this game?
I think that's some of it, but then I think there's some of it is just there were opportunities there that they just missed on, that they didn't cash in on.
Hmm.
Opportunities where he probably could have, should have pulled the trigger and just didn't for whatever reason. Now, I usually, after I see after the game, I'll go home and I'll pull it out, and especially this game, I really wanted to watch the offense and the passing in particular just to see if when I'm watching the game at full speed, full time, that I saw what I thought I saw. And
yeah, sure.
Yeah, for the most part, I did. But then there were instances where, you know, there might have been something like blocking his vision where he couldn't get the ball out. But for the most part, I saw what I thought I was seeing during the game when it was live.
And then how good was Baker Mayfield on the other side of things, and why didn't our pass rush get home?
Because the ball got out so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in. They had a really good plan to make sure that happened the week before. He was sacked a whole lot. They didn't want to suffer that again. They wanted to make sure that the ball got out as quickly as the, you know, the Eagles cornerbacks, they're playing 8 yards off. And then when the receiver would come off the ball, then they're in their back pedal. So there's a big cushion there where they're giving you 7 yards. They're giving you 8 yards because of just the way they played rather than playing up in a guy's face. So it made it easy for Baker Mayfield to just dink and dunk his way down the field, especially on that first drive.
Mike, the ball coming out quicker, do you think that fully explains Jalen Carter not seeming more impactful out there? Or is this one of those games where he just doesn't fully bring it or put it all together?
No, without a doubt, with the ball coming out the way it came, it affects the defensive line. It affects that front. If you have guys coming up a little tighter and you have Baker Mayfield having to clutch or pump it and not have that first guy there, then it's a different game. When that happened a couple of times in the game, you saw the pocket breaking down. You saw the pressure on him. But if you don't make him hold it for a tick, it's so much easier to play the position when guys are playing off coverage on the outside.
When was the last time? I've had a real issue with our two-minute offense, our two-minute attack. And once again, it's situational football. We failed in a two-minute situation in this game, and that's what I've become accustomed to seeing. Is that more because of the quarterback being less than, you know, what we're looking for as a two-minute hurry-up quarterback, or is this more the coaching that he's getting, Mike?
Yeah, I don't really know the answer to that, quite honestly, but I do believe that putting this team in the tempo or the hurry-up style of offense, I think it's effective, and I think it can be effective because your quarterback's going to make all the calls, and he's going to call things that he's very comfortable with. So I thought when they started, it didn't end well, but the two-minute approach or the tempo approach when they didn't huddle, just went to the line of scrimmage, I thought they moved the ball pretty effectively during that period.
Mike, are you disappointed in Jahan Dotson so far?
I'm disappointed that he has not been more a factor because I think he can play. I think he needs more opportunities, though, so it's not so much Dotson. It's just the lack of production, and that may be just from a lack of opportunities to make plays. I don't know how many times he was targeted in that game, but I don't think it was very much. Let me take you back to this.
Yeah.
When as a receiver playing the position of wide receiver, the worst thing that we have to deal with when you play that position is a guy in your face and a guy that's going to throw you off of your route and force you to do something different than you want to do. And it also affects the quarterback and the timing of the route when a guy is in your face or you've got to make some adjustments to a guy who's playing you and tight coverage. So that to me is why I don't understand why they played off so much.
Mike, the special teams were an issue. It feels like it was, I don't know, a communication problem between our coach and a new player who was thrust into a new position. How much are you worried about the fact that our special teams looked like the Keystone Cops out there?
Not so much. I think there's a good special teams coach here. Yeah, there are some things that are going to come up along the way that will not go well. But when you work, so I like the fact that he listens to his players. They have good conversations in game that what's going on within the game, so that you're able to make adjustments. You know that block on the extra point, that was big, and it was something that they had discussed. That like there's a possible opening. I think that this guy is really good. Yeah, there are going to be things that happen during the course of the game that you'll have to correct, and there are going to be some things that happen that have never happened before. But all in all, I think this guy's a really good special teams coach. I like the detail that he puts into his work.
Mike Quick with us. All right, Mike, two final things. So Cooper DeJean obviously got set back in training camp with the injury, which was a bummer. Looks like he's getting more up to speed. Do you think he's close to being able to crack the starting lineup and Avante be removed? I mean, we love Avante. He's been a really solid Eagle, but it looks like he's struggling. Do you think Cooper DeJean is close to taking that job?
Have no idea. But I know this. They're looking for answers. And when you have the bye week, it's the time to sit down and go through all the details. And you can't play favors. You have to make sure that you're making the right decision that's in the best interest of everybody. And if that means that Cooper DeJean is going to now get his opportunity, then, yeah, that's what you go with. But I like Avonte Maddox. I think he's a really good player. But if you look at, like, the probably the biggest problem in the game on the defensive side was the poor tackling. And I think he, on a couple of occasions, was probably the culprit. But just in general, the tackling was just not good at all.
Yeah, and I'll say this.
And it just stood out.
I wonder on Avonte, you know, he was in the, I think, 2018 draft, I believe. You know, he's had a lot of injuries. His body might just be beat up at this point. I mean, he's a smaller guy with a lot of injuries, and he just may not have the same athleticism he had. Because he was a quality player. I mean, I'm a big fan of him, but it just looks like it's diminishing returns. All right, final thing here. Now, I need a ruling from Phil Martell, who's with us. So, Phil, Mike's been saying for years, I mean, for years, that he is a phenomenal basketball player. He says he ran the rock with the NC State team that won the title in 83, and that he would play with those guys all the time and hold his own. Phil, I mean, you know something about the sport of basketball. Are we to take Mike Quick at his words?
Mike Quick is one of the greatest athletes to ever play in Philadelphia. So if he tells me that he did that at NC State, now you have to remember, NC State, that team won the national championship for one reason. They fouled. So maybe Mike Quick is a hack. I don't know. Maybe he was really good at foul. When he says he hung with those guys, all they did was foul.
Maybe he
and Valvano,
him.
You know, like, come on. Right, the guy shot it. The guy shot a 20-foot shot, 17 feet. They caught it and dunked it. And it was like Valvano was Hall of Famer from that point forward. Come on, Mike. I can't have it.
Well, listen, great stuff right there, Phil.
Basically, he threw an air ball.
Yes.
An air ball.
He sure did.
Eric Wittenberg shot an air ball.
He sure did. Mike, let me tell you this. For all my ribbon I've given you through the years on this, and man, are you a good sport, because who am I to talk, all right? But I want to say, for the record, and this might be the only time I admit this, I do believe you, Mike. I actually think that you could have been a great college basketball player if you weren't a great college football player. I believe you.
Joe, I'll tell you this. Like, I meet a lot of young people now, and they'll say, oh, yeah, that's the guy on the radio. And they don't know anything about my football career as a professional. And you know what I say to them, Joe?
What do you say?
Google me.
There you go.
Yes.
I love it. Well, here's what I'll say, Mike, for those that are too young to know. You were one of the two or three greatest receivers of the 1980s, there's no doubt. And if it wasn't for the knee issues, you would have been in the Hall of Fame. And there's like literally no doubt in my mind of that. And I mean that sincerely, Mike.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Mike. Stay well, buddy. Thanks, we'll talk to you next week. All right, there he is. Quick six. Phil, how great a football player was he, man?
So smooth. Oh, my goodness gracious. So smooth. And you know what's crazy? I don't know. I was the head coach at Bishop Kenrick High School. Not my fault that they knocked it down last Sunday.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Gone. Gone. Toll Brothers is building things there. We played the Eagles traveling team. I was the head coach at Bishop Kenrick. The faculty played the Eagles on a Friday night.
Eagles players.
Okay. Mike Quick may have been in that game.
No way.
He may have been in that game.
Think about Mike Quick's name. Have you ever known? You've been all over this country recruiting kids. Going. Have you ever seen a person with the name Quick? It is
such a perfect sports
name.
That's a great point.
That's a good.
Mike Quick is the coolest name. Like, I wish my name.
Well, Jonathan Quick, the goalie for the Kings.
Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
That's one.
It's a great.
There's
name.
Not many, but that is one. You're right.
Good. How about the pitcher last night for the Braves? The second pitcher last night was called Bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darren Bummer.
I wasn't real happy about that.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. We got Devin, Seltzer, Rhea, and Phil Martelli sitting in with us for about an hour and a half as we get close to Red October, which cranks up Saturday at 4 o'clock. The game here on WIP and obviously at Citizens Bank Park. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in. We'll get to Conklin and what he put together for us. Conklin ever gets you, Phil? I mean, you know, he has a way to do these spoofs and all.
He's tremendous. He is absolutely tremendous. I don't know if he ever got me. Probably he'd probably make a mistake and say, tell people that I was bald. I never got that. Yes. I never quite understood that.
Phil, can you believe it's been 20 years since your amazing team? Was it 03 or 04?
It was 03, 04. So we celebrated with them last Labor Day weekend. So this would be the 21st year since that happened. And there was a very, very long time up until the last couple of years. Every day somebody would tell me something. And there's a young guy that is now in the process of having a book published. Aaron Bracey has a book coming out.
Oh, Aaron's that. Terrific.
And he, yeah. And he did 100 interviews, Rhea, for that book. And I kept reading about it on social media and thinking, I know I was there. I remember being there. Am I going to be interviewed for this book? And he ended up coming, and it ended up being a 6-hour interview because I wasn't short on words, John. I have a ability to talk.
Hey, so. Talk a little bit. Talk a little bit. Do you miss coaching, Phil? This is your first year not coaching since when?
Since I was 20 years old.
Oh,
I was a JV basketball coach in 1976 at Cardinal O'Hara High School. So this is the first time I haven't been in a locker. And then you go previous to that, 4 years in college in the locker room, 4 years in high school, grade school playing. Oh. What I miss the most is, and I love basketball, but I'm not an X and O dude. Like I never thought of myself as analytical or this X and O genius. What I miss is the everyday interactions with a kid that's had a great day the day before, a kid that had a tough day in school. The managers, I love managers. Absolutely, positively love managers. And the coaches coming in, not like, how you doing? What's going on? Is there a way that I could help? The interaction and the daily conversations have me a little bit antsy.
You miss it? That part?
I miss. Yeah. I really, really, really miss the people that were around the game.
Do you drop into, like, when Larry Brown wasn't coaching, there were times he would pop into Jay Wright's practices at Nova all the time. He just wanted to be around it. Do you think that this winter you may be popping in just to be in a gym from time to time?
Well, Joe, not breaking news, but I'm going to be popping in gyms because maybe the next night I might be broadcasting that game.
Oh, look at you.
So that will be
good for you.
My intention. But there are other things that I'm really interested in. And some local schools have reached out. I'll go in to watch their team's practice. I will go to high school practices. And I'm really looking for, like, the organization. Not what you're teaching, not what you're running. But if you walk into a high school practice and they're not using their clock to time their practice, I'll say to them, well, what about Tuesday night when it's packed gym, and how are your guys going to react to the clock? Mm-hmm. You can't put that on them game day. You have to do that every single day.
Sure.
And here's another one, and I just had this conversation with a nephew yesterday. Why do basketball coaches wear whistles in practice? On Friday night when the game is packed, they must react to your voice. When do you practice them hearing your voice if you're using a whistle?
Fascinating.
Outdoor sport, I get it, right? Or horn or whatever they use. But I have never understood a basketball coach that uses a whistle.
Right. Wow.
They use it because the person,
I hadn't thought of it either.
The person they played for wore a whistle.
Yeah.
That's why they do it.
Yeah, maybe. You're right. It's just tradition.
But my question is simple. When do you practice them listening to your voice? And when you yell out on Tuesday night in the biggest game of the year, Roman and Imhotep are playing each other in a packed palestra, and you haven't practiced them listening to your voice, then the player has an excuse for not hearing you.
That's amazing. That's fascinating.
Do you feel like broadcasting is filling a competitive void? Do you feel like that's doing enough for you?
I'm not sure yet, John, because I haven't done it. Mm-hmm. Now, the first reaction was everybody on May 1st was, just do games. And I'm like, that's not enough. Like, I want to be out there to make a difference.
Sure.
So if going to a game and I can make a difference to the grandparent, let's say I'm broadcasting Lafayette and Colgate. I know the grandparent for that Lafayette kid. They might not be on TV that much. I want to make sure that that kid's name is said correctly, pronounced correctly, that he's applauded for having this opportunity. So in that way, I feel like I'm making a difference. 6 years ago, people came to me about broadcasting, and I was like, nah, I needed a locker room. I needed to be there to pick a young man up when he was at his lowest. He missed two free throws. We lost the game. Mm-hmm. Let me pick you up. And I wanted to be there every day to celebrate with those guys. I wanted guys walking in the office and saying, yo, I got an A on that paper. That's tremendous. Or,
that's
hey,
yeah,
my girlfriend's coming. Whatever it is to celebrate, I wasn't done. Now I can comfortably say I'm home. I'm home to make a difference. That's my company now, Make a Difference. And I am really anxious about broadcasting because I don't want to do – I'm not ready to do Villanova UConn. But I want to get good enough that next year they think, you know what, he would be good to do that.
Good for you, Phil. That's great, man. That really is. Let's get some calls in here. Time's yours. We want to get to the Conklin thing this segment as well. Gary in Vineland, New Jersey. Gary, good morning.
Hey, DeCam, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
You raised a good point yesterday, and it's almost
You say I raised A?
Yes.
I made one singular good point?
It's more
come
than
on,
usually,
Gary.
Though.
Come on, Gary, it's a four-hour
like
show. I give you at least 37 or 38 a show, but all right. Which one stood out to you?
Take the compliment, would you?
What do you got?
When you said about the coach's answers, like, it's like you ask him, how's Saquon doing, or something about Saquon, he goes into a diatribe about how the ball is made of leather and it comes from a Jersey cow. And in high school,
you forget what the question
ball.
Was. I know.
Like by the time he gets done talking, you're like, what are we even talking about? How did you get there? Why are we talking about high school again? What's going on? I wish he would just be more direct, more. And if that's how he's talking to the players, they're probably losing focus as well.
So that's my worry.
Yeah, he may not do that though. Listen, Gary, it may be strategic. Andy Reid's strategy was a grunt.
Gonna do a better job.
Gonna pause. Gonna grunt again. Gonna pause. And then I'm going to answer by saying very little. Like, that was a strategy. I mean, John, you were around Andy Reid a lot. Did you ever see him grunt in a normal conversation?
I mean, I'm sure he grunted on occasion,
but it couldn't be on
a lot more words and interesting things to say than what you would expect.
Rhea, do you think those grunts were literally just strategic?
Yeah, because when you talk to him in a different setting,
right,
he was a completely different person. You and I both covered the Arena League.
Sure, yeah, we did.
His daughter sang at one of the games, and I went up and talked to him before. He was, and I go, Andy, what? He goes, I've never been more nervous in my, like, he was nervous. Completely different person away from the
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So, Gary, look, it could be strategic for Sirianni. I do think he should get a little more concise.
My God, please.
You know? All right, Gary.
Can I make that arena?
That is an awfully nice way to put that.
And don't stick up for Devin White if the guy's, you know, tapped out on the team. I mean, come on. Gary, give me a scene with only one person in it.
So a lot of the chalks come off the board already, so I'm going to go a little out of the box. How about Anakin's nightmare when it really caused him to flip to the dark side?
Oh, boy, I got to think about this. Wasn't that his mom was in trouble? I'm getting a little confused. Look, it's not going to be a winning answer, so we don't have to break it down too much. What we do have to break down is the Twitter poll question of the day. So it's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, proud to again be PA's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. All right, we have all commented, meaning me, John, Devin, James, and Rhea, with our answers on these. Phil, let's get your answer to these three questions, and then, John, you assess how people voted online. Question one, Phil, knowing that Wheeler's going to start game one, who should start game two, Nola or Sanchez?
I have to hedge. If it's going to be the Mets, I want Nola in New York. I just think Sanchez is a younger kid, and I think he'll thrive in this environment on Sunday afternoon.
And if it's Milwaukee, you're saying flip it?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so you're more Sanchez than Nola.
Yes.
Okay. Second poll. Okay, John, how do you think that poll result went? We have talked about this for about 4 weeks now.
I know, and I feel like everyone's glossing over the fact that Sanchez was not very good in this last outing, like really not good. Man, I think Aaron Nola wins, but barely, like 51%.
55% for Aaron Nola. Guys, we will revisit that topic in the next 2 days, at least until they make a determination and publicly announce it, which probably will not be before we go off the air on Friday. Question two.
You need to clean your glasses,
I
man.
Know, they're horrible. I believe me.
Can you see his glass? You can't see his eyes. It's glass. You
they're,
can't
yeah,
see
foggy.
His eyes through oh, the man. Glass Smudgy. Because they are so smudged.
Yeah.
It's opaque.
Why you gotta do me dirty,
it
man?
It is opaque.
It's radio. No one can see me. I mean, let a guy be a guy.
Remember, people always can tell what's in your heart by seeing your eyes. He's just letting you know his heart's cloudy.
All right, Phil, question two. Who should be the starting second baseman against a left-handed starting pitcher? Sosa or Stott?
Stott. Don't mess with the formula.
Well, the formula this year has mostly been Sosa because Stott didn't hit lefties well, and eventually they kind of benched him against lefties.
I know, but Sosa is the ultimate glue guy. I go back to this team was 30 games over 500. I know Sosa filled in
yep.
for Turner when he was hurt. Don't mess with – you have a gold glove at second base. He's an absolute okay. gold glove. Hmm. And I have a sneaking suspicion – that he might be a bright lights guy.
Scott. Yeah, well, he certainly has been in the playoffs last year. I mean, the Grand Slam is amazing. All right, John, I have the poll results. Who wins the poll?
Tell me again how it's phrased, Joe.
Left-handed starting pitcher, who starts?
I think Stott barely ekes this out.
Correct.
56.
Correct, exactly.
No way.
56, Stott.
All right,
we got one more. Left-handed starting pitcher, who should Jeez. Be the center fielder? Marsh or Rojas? Phil, which would you go with?
Marsh in center field.
But you're Rojas, swallowing hard, right?
Rojas.
Because Marsh is probably going to go out for four. I mean, let's just be real. At least until a right-handed reliever comes in.
But I heard John earlier. I heard John earlier, and I thought this in the last maybe 10 games of the season. They really started to put an emphasis on small ball. Yeah. There was a game where Marsh bunted over to trying go to second and third. Yeah. Rojas tried, and come on. Like, I think in a regular season,
great.
Rojas going out there and thinking, oh, I'm going to play 100 games, so I'm going to get 400 at-bats, he was swinging from his heels. I think in this situational play, in these playoffs, you have to win 11 games. I would still lean on Marsh. But Rojas is going to play significant minutes. And this is coming from a guy. I can't get over 64. I can't get over Danny Ozark keeping Luzinski in left field on that Friday afternoon game against the Dodgers. Why wasn't Jerry Martin in that game? And here to tell a story on myself, I called the Phillies offices that day. They answered because they were selling tickets for the next day. Nitwit. Demanded that Danny Ozark be fired in the playoffs for not taking Luzinski out of the game. I come by this honestly.
This
I'm a fanatic.
Unreal.
This is game 3 of 77. This is real talk from Phil Martelli.
Wow.
All right, John, an answer. The poll for everyone that voted online.
Rojas, 60%.
Rojas, 53. Here's what these three polls tell me. We're talking about this the next 2 days in longer form. We got to get more calls on this because these are split decisions. If you want to go boxing, split
yes.
decisions. Let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Well, I wanted to wait and see what happened with the Mets and the Braves. Now that the Diamondbacks are out of the playoffs, I think the Phillies are literally going to win the World Series this year. Diamondbacks are just that team the Phillies can't beat.
By the way, how about this? You mean, people might not have seen it. Diamondbacks owner coming out and saying he messed up with the Jordan Montgomery signing, which, James, you remember, we talked about in the offseason.
Very aggressive comments from the owner. I mean, he was like, I couldn't believe he said it.
The owner,
I really couldn't.
For those that missed it, the owner was like, this is totally on me. Like, baseball operations didn't want to do it, and I'm like, we are signing him because I say so. Hmm. So good for that owner for taking ownership. But man, oh man.
Well, the weird thing is that Jordan Montgomery has a player option.
I know.
For next year. It's unbelievable. I think the owner's being like, don't sign it, please.
After all that talking in ERA in like the sixes or something, or fives, it was a disaster.
Why is it that people think if we fired Sirianni today and brought Belichick in that the season's over? There would be an adult in the room, not a guy that sounds like the secretary on Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Forgot about her.
I did too. That's
wow.
great.
And how about Jennifer Grey popping in with a little? It's not quite a cameo.
Charlie,
it's
Sheena. Well, she's the sister.
Oh, she has Sheen. Sheen also.
Sheen's a cameo.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Remember how awful Brian Johnson was last year? Well, guy named Jaden Daniels is having one heck of a year. I'm sure you know that his passing game coordinator is none other than Brian Johnson. What we have here is Jalen Wentz.
You know, I did actually not know that until about two or three days ago when someone told me that. And
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's the offensive coordinator, though. Let's not get carried away with
point.
It. Yeah.
It's Cliff Kingsbury's offense. They are rapidly, everything
but,
is...
Here's the main point of the caller. Jaden Daniels greater than Jalen Hurts. Fact.
What an absolute disaster this Eagles team is. Maybe if they spend more time practicing instead of podcasting, they'd know how to play the game.
Time's yours.
Wow. All right. Everyone getting their voice out there. With that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Times Yours
feels like
line.
I'm glad I'm out of this. No one can rip me
a
anymore.
Of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints.
My wife goes.
Call 215-238-4500.
All right, so Phil, let me say, wonderful having you in studio, and I really appreciate you doing this today.
I really appreciate it. This is just fantastic. I appreciate all that you do for all these people. They need a place to go, to vent, to celebrate, and... It's going to be some first week in November for a lot of reasons in the country and in Philadelphia. I'm going to be on Broad Street. I just feel it.
Good man. Good man.
I'm going to be on Broad Street.
All right. That's Phil Martelli calling a Phillies World Series title, third in franchise history. All right, Phil, stay well. We'll talk soon.